Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, His glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light. 'Tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. Reading again from the 8th chapter of John, reading toward the last part of it. It gets to be a sad story toward the end, and yet a very true story. Evidently, a needed message, not only concerning them, but concerning us. Listen to the last part of this chapter, beginning at verse 43. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well, thou art a Samaritan, and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil. I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead. Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say, that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through them in the midst of them, and so passed by. Let's give thanks for these words and pray that we'll have understanding of them. We don't have to hear the question that the Lord Jesus gave to his audience here that we read at the beginning. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. I'm afraid that we as a nation and as a church and in our homes are coming near to that. Let's pray for revival, awakening, salvation to the glory of God, and that Christ's prayer that he taught us might be fulfilled in us and in our time. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father, we do come to thee, recognizing that thy name must be hallowed, knowing that it is only a blessing if thy kingdom does come and thy will is done on earth as it is in heaven. If we are changed from being unwilling to be willing to do thy bidding and to hear thy word, to believe thy word, to obey thy word, that it is not only honoring for thee, but a blessing for us, and it will be a blessing for others involved and our neighbors. We pray, Father, for our neighbors, our families, our churches, our homes, our nation. We pray for the world of both Jew and Gentile. We pray, Father, that there might be a reviving in the church, and there might be an awakening in the world, that there might be a reviving as there was at Corinth, a godly sorrow over their sin, a mourning, even a fervent mourning, and then, as Paul could say to them, a clearing of themselves and having a fervent testimony of difference and change in them. And we pray for such a reviving of righteousness in our time. And as thou hast said, awake thou that sleepest, and awake to righteousness. And even another church is a high time to awake out of sleep. We believe all of this would be a reviving of the church and we pray for it through Christ. We pray, Father, that as there was that in the time of Hezekiah, the time of Josiah, the time that we just mentioned, the church at Corinth, and as we have read of it in history, the Reformation, and what was called the Great Awakening, which was both a reviving of truth and those that preached it, and an awakening and those that heard it, awakening to their sin and awakening to salvation. And we pray for that, Father, today, that it may come, as thou hast said to us over and over, both in the Psalms and again in Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, awake thou that sleepest in the church, but also today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. And we pray, Father, that as thou dost tell us that, we pray for thy Spirit to make us to be willing to hear that voice. Thou hast said through the pen of the psalmist, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And we pray that thou would give us the power of Christ. And as we sometimes sing, there is power in the blood. And we read of those who overcame by the blood of Christ, the Lamb. And we pray that we may have that today, that power applied to us by thy word and by thy Spirit, that the church will again preach that word, and the church will again be in one accord in prayer and supplication for a blessing on that word, as on the day of Pentecost and the time preceding that from thy ascension, Lord Jesus, to the time that the Spirit was given, that there was that time of prayer and supplication. And we pray that thou wilt teach us how to do it, make us willing to do it, make us willing to deny ourselves and take up our cross in that we do honor thee in prayer, that we do beg of thee in prayer, and that we do rightly pray in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one of whom we have just read here, who could say, before Abraham was, I am, that he is with thee, the eternal Son, the one that through whom thou didst create the world, and the one by whom thou dost uphold the world by the word of his power, and the one who could say before thy ascension, Lord Jesus, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And we pray that thou would impart that power to the church, and then through the church to the preaching of the word to the world. We pray for this first, that thy kingdom might come, that thy will might be done on earth as it is in heaven, that we might be made to seek first that kingdom, and then, Father, that the other things that thou hast promised to add will also be given. We thank thee that we have them in abundance in food and raiment and shelter. When others are in suffering, we pray for them and for thy mercy on them through Christ. We pray for our homes. We pray for the children in the broken homes. We pray for the schools. We pray for our government leaders, that thou would put thy fear in their hearts. Thou would protect them from all the evil forces that attack them. We pray for the nations at war, that peace might come through the gospel, all through Christ. Amen. As we continue in this wonderful chapter, John chapter 8, very long chapter, beginning with Christ going into the Mount of Olives, then early in the morning, coming again to the temple, sat down and taught the people there. And evidently what we read for the rest of the chapter here takes place in the temple. But evidently, as we come to the end of the chapter, Christ went out of the temple, and we read they took up stones to cast at him, but he went through the midst of them, and so passed by. And when we read this in that last verse of the chapter, that they took up stones to cast at him, we don't have to be surprised. The Lord Jesus said to them, as we read in verse 44 of this 8th chapter, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." There is a devil. He was the father of these people. These people who said, "Abraham is our father," who also said, as we read in verse 41, "We have one Father, even God." In one way, they were the children of God. They were what we sometimes call the children of Israel, the nation of Israel. They were truly the descendants of Abraham, the friend of God, the one that God not only taught but gave many promises. Gave him the promise that I will be a God to thee and to thy seed after thee. And there's a large part of what is called the church today that states, as God said that to Abraham, so he also says it to us and to our children. And taking those words, I will be a God to thee and to thy seed after thee. But not evidently taking note of the context when God says to them and of them, to Abraham, I will be a God to thee and a God of thy seed, and give them the land in which thou dwellest. Genesis chapter 17, verse 7 is the words that are often quoted. I will be a God to thee and to thy seed after thee. And the 8th verse states that God will give them that land. All in one context, one promise. And that is a promise for those children of Israel, those children of Abraham, those that are sometimes called Jews, sometimes called Israelites. And God gave them that promise, giving it to Abraham first, continuing to give it to him, as Moses would say, different times, the promise made to the fathers. But it was not that I will be a God and a father spiritually and eternally to them all. That was not given. It was not certainly fulfilled if it was given. And then God would not be true. It was not given to Ishmael, who was there with Abraham at that time. And when God instituted the covenant of circumcision, both Abraham and Ishmael were circumcised that same day. But the promise wasn't to Ishmael like it was to Abraham, nor was it like to Ishmael like it was to Isaac, nor like it was later to Jacob. The promises were repeated, not only what were given there at that time of the giving of circumcision, but the promise earlier, long before that, 20-some years earlier, God had said to Abram then also that he would give them the land, and he would be a God to them and to their seed, but a wonderful promise with it. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, not then to one nation, but a promise for all nations. And we have to learn and remember that the promise in Genesis 17 was to one nation. I will give them the land. In Genesis 12, verse 3, it was for all nations. He would bless all of them through that seed which was promised, which was Christ. As Paul unfolds it later in Galatians chapter 3, when he refers back to those words given to Abraham and states to Abraham was the gospel preached. Abraham then saw the light. We read, Abraham saw my day and was glad. We may believe truly that Abraham knew what these Jews here that Christ is speaking to, and were even described as when they heard these words, they believed on him, which we saw in previous weeks. And then we read, then Jesus said to those which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I would challenge all the church today, myself included, that we search that word as we should, and then come up with the same answer as we should. And there's no reason not to. And if we don't, we're listening to the devil. We're listening to the spirit of disobedience. Some people speak of different interpretations, and there probably is some room for that. But I think more the problem is different degrees of disobedience. We're commemorating the Reformation this year, 500 years. Both John Calvin and Martin Luther speak of what baptism means, the word, and how it was practiced. And both of them say that, well, this isn't done today. John Calvin says the word means immersion. This was the way practiced by the primitive church. He writes that in his Institutes. Luther writes in his sermons that baptism is a picture of burying, dying, rising again, and that is really pictured in immersion, but he says we don't practice that today. Both of them know the truth. It isn't interpretation, it's disobedience. It's not continuing in the Word of God. And at the time of the Reformation, they began wonderfully in the Word of God. But it was soon the Word of the City Fathers, the Word of the Princes of the nation of Germany for Luther, and the City Fathers for Zwingli and for Calvin. As much as the City Fathers would take, they would practice. But they didn't want to go beyond that. They wanted to get the multitude, but not the few. And it is the few that Christ states enter the straight gate. When God worked through Gideon, and he had a number of people, God said, too many. And he gave Gideon a way of finding out who was the ones to stay with him and the ones to be sent home. And we can read of that in the book of the Judges. Too many. Here we often think of numbers. And we must preach the gospel to every creature. That's the command of Christ. But we do not have the promise that every creature will believe. We do not have the promise even that many will believe. We have the stern words, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. We sang that wonderful song, the light of the world is Jesus. You think if the light of the world is Jesus, the whole world would see him. The song says the whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. And here, in this 8th chapter of John, we have earlier these words. Going back to the 12th verse of John chapter 8, then Jesus said again unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees, hearing those words, said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Oh, what sad words to say to him who is the light of the world, our only hope, your record isn't true. It doesn't change the light. It just shows people in darkness, terrible darkness. Like we read already in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, John chapter 1. Along with reading that Christ was with God and was God, and all things were made by him, we read in the fourth verse of that first chapter of the Gospel of John, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then those sad words in the next verse. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. When we shine a flashlight at an obstacle in the dark, we can see that obstacle, whatever it is, a building or whatever it may be. It goes right through the darkness to that place we pointed at, and we can see it. But here it says the darkness comprehendeth it not. The darkness overcomes it. The darkness in man's mind, man's heart. The same chapter we read about John being sent by God. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. And he later confessed that he was not the Christ, but was the voice in the wilderness to prepare the way before Christ, to call them to repentance, to call them out of their darkness, and to recognize the darkness they were in. And that's the whole situation here in John chapter 8. They are still in the darkness. And that's why Christ is saying, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then a little later, he says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. They were bound by their sin, but more serious, bound by Satan himself. These sons of Abraham, these sons of the most favorite nation in all the world of all time. Only one nation has ever had these promises. Only one nation has ever been given the word of God as they were given. There are other nations who have been blessed. Our nation, the United States of America, has been blessed with the word of God. We think of the nations that were affected after the Reformation. They were blessed. But different than what this nation was, especially when Moses was leader and the kings, God worked through them. Now God works through the church, but too often the church wants to unite itself with the government. And I was reading today about William Perkins, one of the early Puritans, and read the difference of his time and that of the Reformers. In this paragraph, the natural consequence out of Perkins' historical context, whereas Calvin and the Reformers had preached to the previously Roman Catholic churches and thus primarily defended God's free grace and justification by faith against the Roman teaching of human merit, Perkins was in a nationally Protestant church. In Perkins' time, going to church and attending worship services were a part of English life, but not all the churchgoers were true believers. Carnal gospelers assumed themselves to be elect without genuine faith. Their self-deception of having assurance was the main object against which Perkins highlighted the fruits of sanctification and subjective ground of assurance. They had what we have mentioned in other times, formalism, a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Another place we read about our own country and how it went from believers to children that were formalists and then to the halfway covenant, so they continue to have them church members, but not set free by Christ. Not in true hearing the gospel and repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, God's way into eternal life.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.